Before we begin hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 1st chapter, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone, text number 26. My name is Rajendra Nandana Das. I'm an insignificant disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Some of you don't know me. I don't know many of you. I feel a little self-conscious, a little inadequate being among so many wonderful Vaishnavs, Vaishnavis. And so when we chant our invocational prayers to the spiritual master, the cyclic succession, Rupa Goswami, etc., would you please ask them to be kind upon me, that the message might enter your ears, that the transcendental message can purify us all. I would appreciate it. So we're studying text number 26. Forgive the frog in my throat, please. Tasmad Vairanubandena Nirvairena Vayena Va Snehat Kamena Va Yunjat Katanchin Nekshate Pritak Tasmad Vairanupandena Nirvairena Bhayena Va Snehat Kamena Va Yunjat Katanchin Nekshate Pritak Tasmad Vairanu Bandena Nirvairena Bhayena Va Snehat Kamena Vayunjat Yatanchin Nekshate Pritak Tasmad Vairanu Bandena Nirvairena Bhayena Va Snehat kamena vayunjat Katanjin nekshate pratak Vaishnavis. The little girl. She's not here today. Ah, Hare Krishna. Snehat Kamena Vayunjat. Tanjin Mekshite Prita Tasmat. Therefore, Vaira Anubandena, by constant enmity, Nirvairena, by devotion, Vayena, by fear, Va, or Sneha, from affection, Kamena, by lusty desires, Va, or Yunja, one should concentrate, Katanjit, somehow or other, Na, not, Ikshite, sees, Pritak, something else. Translation. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desire, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From this verse, one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favorable prayers or unfavorable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Supreme Lord. This is not the regulative principle. Bhakti Yoga means anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. One should serve Krishna very favorably. This is the real injunction. Here it is said that although an enemy thinks of Krishna unfavorably, the Lord is unaffected by such anti-devotional service. Thus he offers his benedictions even to Shishupal and similarly inimical conditioned souls. This does not mean, however, that one should be inimical toward the Lord. The stress is given to the favorable execution of devotional service, not purposeful blasphemy of the Lord. It is said, Nindan Bhagavata Srinvans Tatparasya Janashyava Tatona Paiti Yasopi Yatya Dasukritatschuta. One who hears blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotees should immediately take action or should leave. Otherwise, he'll be put into hellish life perpetually. There are many such injunctions. Therefore, as a regulative principle, one should not be unfavorable toward the Lord, but always favorably inclined towards Him. Shishupal's achievement of oneness with the Supreme Lord was different because Jai and Vijay, from the very beginning of their material existence, were ordained to treat the Supreme Lord as an enemy for three lives and then return home back to Godhead. Jai and Vijay inwardly knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they purposefully became his enemies to be delivered from material life. From the very beginning of their lives, they thought of Lord Krishna as an enemy. And even though blaspheming Lord Krishna, they chanted the holy name of Krishna constantly, along with their inimical thoughts. Thus they were purified because of chanting the holy name of Krishna. It's to be understood that even a blasphemer can be freed from sinful activities by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Certainly, therefore, freedom is assured for a devotee who is always favorable to the service of the Lord. This will be clear from the following verse. By rapt attention fixed upon Krishna, one is purified, and thus one is delivered from material life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely explained the word bhayena, which means by fear. When the gopis went to Krishna in the dead of night, they certainly feared chastisement by their relatives, their husbands, brothers, and fathers. But nonetheless, not caring for their relatives, they went to Krishna. There was certainly fear, but this fear could not check their devotional service to Krishna. One should not mistakenly think that Lord Krishna must be worshipped by an inimical attitude like that of Shishupal. The injunction is anukulyasya vihanam pratikulyasya varjanam. One should give up unfavorable activities and accept only favorable conditions in devotional service. Generally, if one blasphemes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's punished. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, Tanaham dushita kuran samsareshu naradaman shipyam ajashram ashuban asurivesha yonishu. There are many such injunctions. One should not try to worship Krishna unfavorably. Otherwise, he must be punished, at least for one life, to be purified. As one should not try to be killed by embracing an enemy, a tiger, or a snake, one should not blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his enemy in order to be put into hellish life. The purpose of this verse is to emphasize that even the enemy of the Lord can be delivered, not to speak of his friend. Srila Madhvacharya also says in many ways that one should not blaspheme Lord Vishnu through one's mind, words, or actions, for a blasphemer will go to hellish life along with his forefathers. Karmana manasa vacha yodvishad vishnum avyam vajanti pitarastasya narake shasvati shama. In the Bhagavad Gita 16, 19, and 20, the Lord says, and this is the third time he's quoting this verse in these two purports. Srila Prabhupada's driving this point home. Tanaham dushita kuran samsareshu naradaman sipyamya jasram ashuban asuriveshva yonishu ashurim yonim apana mudha janmani janmani mama prapyaiva konteya tato yantyada mam gatim. Translations. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. End quote. One who blasphemes the Lord is put into a family of asuras in which there's every chance of forgetting the service of the Lord. Lord Krishna further states in Bhagavad Gita 9, 11 and 12, Avajananti mamudha manushim tanam ashritam parambhavam ajanato mamabhuta maheshwaram. Mudhas, rascals, blaspheme the Supreme Lord because he appears exactly like a human being. They do not know the unlimited opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vichetasaha rakshasim asarim jaiva prakritim mohanim shrita. Anything done by those who've taken the attitude of enemies will be baffled. Mogasha. If these enemies try to be liberated or to merge into the existence of Brahman, if they desire to be elevated to the higher planetary systems as karmis, or even if they desire to return home back to Godhead, they will certainly be baffled. As for Aranyakashipu, although he was extremely inimical towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he always thought of his son, who was a great devotee. Therefore, by the grace of his son, Prahlad Maharaj, Aranyakashipu was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipushchapi Bhagavan Nindayatamaha Vivakshur Atyagatsuno Paladasya Nubhavataha. The conclusion is that one should not give up pure devotional service. For one's own benefit, one should not imitate Hiranyakashipu or Shishupala. That's not the way to achieve success. Srila Prabhupada ki. We could pray together. Om Gyanatim Anandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Panchakopatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desire, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. It's stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Yenatena Prakarena Mana Krishna Mat Veshayet Sarvavidhi Nishedhashur Etior Eva Kinkara. One should fix his mind on Krishna by any means. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of this principle. We have another verse from the Padma Purana. Smartavya satatam vishnur vishmartavyo najatrachit sarve vininishedhasyur etiyor eva kinkara. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. So, the point is being made by Srila Prabhupada that if one can come in contact with the Supreme Pure, Krishna, then he will become purified. It's amazing that Shishupal, Dantavakra, Ravana, Aranyaksha, Aranyakashipu, Kumbhakarna, they were purified even though they hated Lord Vishnu. Aranyakashipu hated his enemy so much even when his own son showed favorable thoughts or devotion, glorification for Vishnu. He was ready to kill him. And yet these demons were purified. They received the mercy of the Lord. The purpose of human life is to get the mercy of the Lord. Now this verse is talking about, it doesn't matter how you approach him. Enmity, fear, affection, lust, or devotional service, somehow or other become attached to Krishna. That was the preaching strategy of Srila Prabhupada, following the guidance of Rupa Goswami, that somehow or other help people become attached to Krishna. And then everything else will come as a result. The do's, the do-nots, they follow like maidservants. The qualities that one aspires for when he is awakening to the reality of devotional service, they come and manifest through the execution of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada was so expert in presenting Krishna and devotional service and explaining to us, no matter what we want, you will never get it until you surrender to Krishna. Who doesn't want to surrender to Krishna? Only fools, rascals, the lowest among men, the demons, those who are bewildered. They are in the very, very pitiful plight of having enmity for Krishna, for still carrying on their envious nature that brought them here in the first place. And we have four verses here talking about such conditioned souls bear the reaction of blaspheming and envying Krishna or his devotees. These devotees we hear of in Srimad Bhagavatam, they were most fortunate. The demons of this age are us in our causeless unwillingness to fully surrender to Krishna. We aren't such big demons. We're nothing compared to the stature of these demons. And the whole point about these demons and why we're discussing them is because they were raptly attentive to thinking about the person, the form of Krishna. Today's atheists, some people make it their life's mission just to explain to anyone who'll listen, to believe in God is just horse manure. It's just stupid. It's a crutch that sentimental fools need. But they don't meditate on Krishna. They don't know Krishna. And the result of their blasphemy, their preaching, envy of the Lord, is that they go lower and lower and lower. The Madhvas even take this verse until they reach the lowest species and never attain me. They take it literally. There are some souls in this world who will not get the mercy of the Lord. We don't take it like that, us Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sooner or later, for most conditioned souls, much, 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 much later, many creations, many universal duration coming, going. But sooner or later, everyone will get the mercy of the devotees and of the Lord, and will get to go back to Godhead. That's the purpose of this universe. Krishna is very good at doing what he wants to accomplish. If his desire had been that we were meant to enjoy in this world, we would not be sitting here with a bum knee. We would not be experiencing the cold, the pushing and shoving of pilgrims. We would not be bothered by any and all of these miseries of the mind and body. We'd be blissed out. But we find in the bodily concept of life, there's nothing but misery. And that's a big, hard pill to swallow. But the body is nothing but a tabernacle, a machine made to let the living entity realize it's all suffering when not used in the service of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada is saying this verse is not emphasizing develop a enmity towards Krishna. No. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Render favorable devotional service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada quotes one small paragraph in this purport referring to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's ecstasy, his commentary on this verse. And he said the gopis were in fear when they were leaving their homes, when they heard the flute of Krishna played. Despite all fear, they weren't held back. Those who were most fortunate ran to see Krishna, despite whatever reaction or result it might cause back at home. Being uncivilized, uncultured people, leaving home, coming home late at night, having been with somebody, this or that. In the Malecha culture, that's the norm. For the Vedic culture, these cowherd girls, even those simple village girls, they knew they risked becoming homeless, being thrown out of their home. You unchaste girl. You're not my wife. You're not my daughter. You've made your choice. Go to the forest. Even though they were so full of fear, they ran to Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that this whole verse is really about the pure devotees. If you want to please Krishna, you can't do it through fear, anger, lust, unless you have praying, from which these emotions are boiling up and spilling over and reciprocating with the Lord. The gopis, they became angry with Krishna. And they chastised him at one time. You shot the king of the monkeys in his back while you hid behind a tree. You as a king, who was supposed to give shelter to everyone, cut off the nose of a woman only for the reason she was attracted to you and wanted to serve you. enjoy with you. You tied up Bali Maharaj and he surrendered completely to you. You tied him up as if he was an animal. What kind of person are you? And of course, this is a result because he was not treating them right. They've surrendered everything, renounced all attachment, simply to come serve him for his pleasure. And he's saying, oh, it's a nice evening. Nice to see you in the forest. Why don't you go home now? As we say in America, it just ain't right. He says that these emotions of anger or fear or lust, they don't please Krishna in and of themselves. Kubja, wonderful pastime. She's bringing King Kamsa sandalwood pulp, a lot of it. She did it every day as a service. Hunchback Kubja. Krishna sees her and wants to have some fun in front of his friends. Oh, my beautiful, straight young lady. What have you got there? And she explained, this is sandalwood paste for King Kamsa. I offer it to him every day. But seeing the beauty of Krishna Balaram, seeing their smiles, hearing the charming words that they were exchanging with each other, she was spontaneously attracted. I can see this sandalwood pulp should be offered to you, Krishna and Balaram. And she anointed their bodies, entire upper torso, their face, their forehead, with this sandalwood pulp, looking even more beautiful. And Krishna was very pleased with this act of service. And he wanted to reward her. So, as far as I know, here's some Adi chiropractor pastime. He puts his foot on her toes. He grabs her by the cheek and... Sorry, that wasn't as good as Ekalubya. But he straightened her up. She became a beautiful, enchanting woman. And naturally transformed like that. She wanted to please Krishna. But she didn't have purity of heart yet. She wanted to enjoy with Krishna. She started tugging on the back of his dhoti. My dear Krishna, please, let me come to my home. Let me serve you. Let me enjoy with you. And Krishna, being a little embarrassed in front of his brother and his friends, he said, actually, it's very appropriate that you would offer me such service. I'm here alone, unmarried, in a foreign town. And surely I will grant your wish. But now I have other things to take care of. And sure enough, as some time passes, he did go to the home of Kuja, and it's very clearly explained. He didn't go there to enjoy with a very beautiful society girl. He had no interest in her lust. Krishna has no interest in any of the things we hold so dear in conditioned life. This body, the toys and assets we have, or our abilities, etc. When they're not used in the service of the Lord, those things just are the cause of our misery and our bondage. He finds no pleasure in the garbage dump. That's the business of conditioned, envious souls. He didn't go there to enjoy with her. But he didn't waste time. He immediately went to her bedroom. He sat down on her bed and she went, took a bath, decorated, anointed with oils. And when she came in front of him, she was very shy. That feminine bashfulness that is so attractive. And she just stood there. And Krishna, seeing her stand there, he grabbed her hand, pulled her over to sit beside him. And she immediately was attracted to take by the aroma of his lotus feet. She was attracted to take those feet and place them upon her breast. And by the aroma of his feet, by the touch of his lotus feet, she was completely purified of all lust. And she only wanted to please Krishna. Period. With no selfish thoughts. With no personal agenda. And Krishna allowed her to embrace her, him with her arms. He reciprocated. There's another verse in the Bhagavatam that says, not even the goddess of fortune Lakshmi received this benediction. Just see how he rewarded her. He was pleased, but when pure bhakti arose, then he allowed actual beauty and good fortune to arise within her. So fear, anger, lust, these things don't attract Krishna in and of themselves unless the purity of the devotee is the cause of them arising. In fact, that came up later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj, when he was hearing the glories of Lord Krishna and the gopis running to Krishna in the dead of night, how could they be purified? How they could be liberated when they're under the modes and acting under lust? And his spiritual master looked at him. He said, we've already talked about this. This point was explained to you previously. Since even Shishupal hated Krishna, achieved perfection, what to speak of the Lord's dear devotees? And because of the time factor, I'll just sum up. Madhvacharya has quoted many verses, 4 or 5 verses, where he says, unless one is liberated, one cannot render pure bhakti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The gopis were liberated. They had an intimate relationship of love, conjugal love for the Lord. And we should understand that there was no selfishness involved whatsoever. It was simply to please Krishna that they decorated themselves, that they ran to dance with him, to embrace him, etc. And Krishna, his pleasure is in giving pleasure to his devotees. He's self-satisfied. Yet inconceivably, everything he does in Vrindavan is simply to please his devotees. For that, as far as that goes, this whole material world is set up to get us back to home, back to Godhead, so that we can be happy rendering service to Krishna. And sometimes we hear the Paramahamsas, they don't suffer. Pure devotees, body and mind, they don't identify with it. Whatever Krishna gives them, Hare Krishna. They continue in their service, at least in their service attitude, even up to the last breath. Even when the body is completely useless, there is nothing of this world, no condition of the body or mind that can stop the pure desire to serve Krishna. Haitiki aprityata, yayatma supersiddhiti. Such devotees are always fulfilled, blissful in the service of Krishna. And so they're not suffering, nor do they desire the liberation. Shishupal, let's keep it straight. Keep our eyes on the goal. He got Sayuja Mukti. That's hellish. He didn't get to serve Krishna in the Brahman. You're just hanging out. You're not suffering, but you're not engaged in the service of the Lord. That's not what the devotee desires. So even though pure devotees may not desire to go back to Godhead, they simply want to serve birth after birth with causeless devotional spirit, we are encouraged by Srila Prabhupada to keep our eyes on the goal, to remember that we are wanting to go back home to Godhead. We want to serve Krishna there. There's full facility in serving Krishna there. Here, the body, it is a very inept instrument for serving Krishna in unalloyed prema bhakti. It's very easily overloaded. Bzz. What do you call that when you blow out the socket? Short-circuited. I mean, Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies are described as if elephants were pulling from all different directions. He could handle in his transcendental form, Satchitananda Vigraha. The living entities, not so easy. So Srila Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna, I've got a wonderful quote if I can find it. To the sincere devotee, this ocean of Maya is easily crossed by the cool breeze of Krishna's grace. This is our business, to submit to Krishna's desire to have us back with him in the eternal sky of Krishna Loka. He wrote that to Shyamasundara in 1968. So favorable devotional service. That's the point of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the essence of Srila Prabhupada's teachings to any and all of us. He's not wanting us to be comfortable with, hey, I got the big garland. I look pretty sharp, don't I? We shouldn't be satisfied with getting the big seat or getting the food first or first in line or the position, etc. Or the money or if that's what you want, Krishna will give it. But if that's all we want, a word of caution. Be careful, because that might be what you're left with. But Krishna is an ocean of mercy. He's so kind. Even when we approach him with contaminated desires, mixed devotional service, he sees, he knows what we want. And he fulfills that desire in such a wonderful way that we will realize the utter foolishness of wanting anything other than to serve Krishna for his pleasure. That's if we have the desire and maintain the desire. Pray to have the desire. Pray that that desire grows and grows. Then it will be given. Always try to keep in the forefront, I want Krishna. The quote this morning from Srila Prabhupada was, those who try to enjoy externally, they're materialist. Those who want to enjoy internally, they're spiritualist. We want to offer the service to Krishna with no motive. That's the goal. That kind of mentality helps one to develop attachment, attraction, first of all to one's service, which purifies the senses and the mind, so that we can get a taste for chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. There is no better way to become absorbed in the form of the Lord. And yet, we may responsibly and attentively take care of those daily activities of running around doing the externals of Vaidhi Bhakti. But what about when it comes time for japa, chanting the holy names of Krishna? That's our intimate one-on-one time with Krishna. How attentive are we at that time? Everything is in the names of Krishna. That is how he is trying to give us his mercy, his service. And if every and all of your attempts are falling short to becoming satisfied with your progress in devotional service, you know what Ramanujacharya said? Then just go to the assembly of devotees and sit down and open your ears. Because when you associate with the advanced devotees, let's put it in the absolute sense, when you associate with the pure devotees, you become infected with their fever. They are fully absorbed in wanting to please Krishna, and that's all they want, to please and serve Krishna and all that is pleasing to Krishna, dear to Krishna. Those and everything they want to serve. That's the favorable execution of devotional service. It's the best. Any and all limbs of bhakti can give you the Lord's mercy. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, as delivered through the disciplic succession and our Srila Prabhupada and his followers, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is why everything is created in this institution of ISKCON. It's why we're building this big temple, so that we and others can become attached, can become absorbed in chanting. And at least we have to have that desire, prioritize the desire. It's a gift. It's not something you do push-ups every day, and at some point you get to where you can lift this table with one hand. It's not like that. Bhakti is a gift. Advancement in Krishna consciousness is a gift. This taste, this attachment to hearing, the ability to just turn one's back upon sense gratification and never look back again, it's a gift from the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. When you please them, and it's not hard, when you please them, you will get their mercy and get Krishna's mercy. It's not hard, but you have to have the proper attitude to stay focused on the essence. If pride is entering into and keeping a stranglehold on our attempts to serve Krishna, the saying is it precedes a fall. Pride precedeth a fall. Pride is the fall down. And whatever it takes for Krishna to slap you, to wake you up to the fact, I'm just a humble servant of the Lord. Someone may appreciate what I've done, what I've said, etc., etc. But we don't desire to be a big devotee. To quote Radhanath Swami, we're not even desiring to be an advanced devotee. Our desire should just be to be the servant of the servant of Krishna. Everything will come from that. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said we should aspire to be a speck in the hand of the spiritual master. Remove the pride. At least endeavor. It's not easy becoming free from the bodily concept of life. We all know it. But the formula is, if you want to become free of the misery of that burden, you have to also take out the desire for enjoying that burden. As long as we desire something for ourselves in relationship to the body and mind, then you have to get the flip side of the coin. You have to suffer. So through the process of Krishna consciousness, through serving the devotees of Krishna, by hearing these transcendental messages, if we keep the right desire prioritized in the forefront, let me become a humble servant who simply wants to please Krishna and his devotees, then all will take place consequently in the good time of the Lord and his devotees. Rest assured. So this is the essence of this verse and purport. Not that we should try to be inimical to the devotees. Even remembering the devotees as Aranyakashipu did. Srila Prabhupada is saying his saving grace was that he was always thinking of this child. How is it I can't kill this boy? He's more powerful than I am. It's impossible. I've defeated everyone in the universe. I control. Narada Muni comes and sings my glories. And this boy resists. How is this possible? Because of his absorption in Prahlad, he was blessed and liberated. Bhurijan Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, if we don't remember Krishna at the time of death, but instead we remember you, Srila Prabhupada, will we get the same result? Go back home to Godhead? Srila Prabhupada answered, yes. The Lord and his devotees, they're our only shelter. Outside of them and the process of devotional service they give us, there is nothing else, nothing worth striving for or having in the 14 worlds. So, if anyone would like to contribute or ask any questions on some of these points, thank you for being tolerant. You can leave, certainly, as some are. It's past time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi. Any questions or comments for those who are... Yes. Where's the microphone for the Vaishnavi?
If everything comes from Krishna, do our sins also come from Krishna?
Does our sin come from Krishna if everything comes from Krishna? Who is this young girl? What's your name?
Radha.
Radha. Radha Dasi. It is a pleasure to have your company. Does sin come from Krishna? Everything comes from Krishna. Irreligion and adharma is the backside of Krishna. Krishna gives us the independence to serve him, to surrender to him or not. He creates a place, a playground, a hellish playground called the material universe if we don't want to serve him. And the laws of nature force upon us the suffering that comes from forgetting Krishna and trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. If Krishna had not given us independence, if there are personalities in the spiritual world, many, many, many of them, they never come to the material world. Never, never. They will never know what sin is. And then there are those of us, the marginal potency of the Lord, we have the independence where, what do you want to do? And so we come here with that desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. Anything in the illusion of Krishna's not present, it's not Krishna's, etc., that's called sin. So I hope that is that okay? That in that sense you can say everything comes from Krishna, but it's our misuse of the independence that he's given us, that ignorance that is called sin, and as a result we suffer. Does that make sense? Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu. It's a Kuranath, isn't it? It's a pleasure to have your company. I'm sorry no one welcomed Vaisheshika, Nirkula, Satyadev, Akuranath, and all the devotees from Silicon Valley. Mother Kanka just left the room, but she's also here, a Prabhupada disciple. So many were happy you're among us. Thank you.
I think that's why so many were leaving, is that I think our yatra has somewhere else to go.
Well,
now,
what are you doing here?
I couldn't resist. And I have a question, which is, and I don't know, it may be a stupid question, but I've been curious. Jai and Vijay were cursed to come three times as demons. Why did they come back as Jagai and Madhai?
I knew I was in the right place with the right devotees. Is that a great question? Or does everybody know that in the Gauranga Dishtapika, and Srila Prabhupada quotes it in a purport, that Jagai and Madhai are Jai and Vijay. So if you didn't know, that's a fact. Why did they come a fourth time? It's explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the book, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, or in the second part, Bhava Taranga, that Lord Chaitanya mercifully descends, and when he does, he invites all the big devotees, great devotees of his other avatars and expansions to come down with him. Why? So that they can get the nectar, the pleasure, the gift, the reward of service to Krishna, Vraja Krishna. And thus, Jagai and Madhai, it's not that Jai and Vijay cease to exist in Vaikuntha. It's inconceivable, but when in service by the blessings of the Lord, the living entities, the servants of Krishna, can have more than one form with more than one Lord, and engage in service in so many ways, in so many places. And that's my understanding, that he invites all the big devotees. Jai and Vijay are big devotees. Practically speaking, they're always at the Vishnu temples. You see their form, they're guarding the gate of Vishnu. Not even Lakshmi could come in when the Lord was sleeping. They're that powerful. Does that make sense? Is that satisfying?
Yes, Jai.
Thank you. Then it's time to run for Parikrama or Pushada. Thank you once again. Srila Prabhupada ki. Radha.